The Holy Gospel for the third Sunday in Lent is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter. Asked about current tragic events, Jesus turns a lesson about whether suffering is deserved into a hard call to obedience. He then tells a parable that holds out hope that the timeline for ultimate judgment will be tempered by patience. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, before I begin, there are those days. Pastor Mark is in Driscoll today. And so I had his Bible class. I was the substitute teacher at 9:30. But I didn't know that at 5:45 this morning, I got a text from pastoral intern Colin. "I have the stomach flu. I won't be there. My sermon is on my desk." So now I'm also another kind of substitute. So today I feel like I should have just wore a substitute name tag. So here we go. Grace and peace from God our Father and from our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Promises, promises. We make all sorts of promises in this life, don't we? There are so many signs of promises, aren't there? Like a wedding ring. The sign of a commitment to a lifetime of loving a certain someone through good or bad. Or like in our children's time today, we pinky swear to different things that we say we will do. Maybe you made a promise to your children or grandchildren that you intend to keep. A few years back, pastoral intern Colin said he was scared out of his wits when he had to sign a promissory note for his first mortgage on his first house. At every baptism, parents and sponsors promise to bring up their children in the faith, to teach them what God's promises in Jesus Christ are all about. And in confirmation, a beloved child of God affirms these promises and promises to live into this life of faith that we are called into. This morning we're looking at Isaiah. The first part of the book of Isaiah talks about the life of the Israelites and their relationship to God in Babylon before their exile. The second part talks about the life during the exile. And the third part, the one where our reading comes from today, takes place post-exile, where the Israelites are picking up the pieces in the aftermath. In this time, the Israelites have many questions about who God is and what God does. So this beautiful imagery that we see in our Isaiah reading today illustrates God's promises for the Israelites and us today. The reading in Isaiah starts out with an image of abundance. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You that have no money, come buy and eat. Eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. That's God calling us into relationship. That's God reining us in away from our earthly matters and concerns. And then comes the promise. God says, I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. God may be indirectly referring to the coming of Christ right here, that there will be someone in the midst of God's people to share more on those promises. And God goes on to say that God will call on nations that the Israelites do not know, and that God has glorified people of all nations. And that includes all of us, right here, right now. In the gospel today, Jesus confronts kind of the same thing. He approaches our earthly tendencies and questions how we may turn away from God. Our gospel reading confronts something that might be an elephant in the room to many. The parable of the fig tree confronts us on how we fall to earthly things and may put God on the back burner. When was a time that you may have embodied the fig tree by wasting the soil? Simply put, when was a time that you may have turned away from faith in God and focused on the earthly things, money, power, prestige, at the expense of things that mattered like family relationships, friends, healthy life? And that's what the parable of the fig tree gets at. And the gardener who puts fertilizer on the wasted ground, that's God in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The fertilizer itself is that relationship that Jesus calls us into as the beloved children of God. Now our gospel leaves the end very open. Did the fig tree thrive, or did the fig tree wither? We aren't given the answer, and that's the point. The point is that Jesus holds true to promises in our faith, even through the unknown. That we can have the unexpected happen, that Jesus does not give up on us. Have you ever been in a slump like the fig tree in today's gospel? Burned out on life in general? Hard to find a speck of happiness anywhere? Or maybe hope has been hard to come by, much like for the Israelites in Isaiah today. The silver lining in these darker, more visceral passages of Scripture is that God in Jesus Christ is always with us, whether we are leading lives on wasted soil, or we are bearing fruit, or engaging in our faith in healthy ways. In this season of Lent, I invite you to think about where your wasted soil is. How can you use that soil to bear fruit? How can you engage in the promises of Christ? How can we live together as the beloved children of God, doing away with hatred, sin, and darkness? In real life, many promises go broken. I know I haven't kept my pinky swear promises as a kid. The sad reality is that the promise of a wedding ring can tend to be broken on many levels. And unfortunately, not everybody keeps to the terms of a signed promissory note. But with God and Christ, a promise is a promise that will always stand. That promise will never be broken. And that's a promise worth celebrating. Thanks be to God. Amen.